If you want to maybe start over.
Okay. This is still the Astoria Development Commission meeting for February 1st, 2016, but we now have the tape rolling. So we'll first of all have a roll call. Chief Johnston?
Councilor Nemlow?
Here.
Councilor Herzig?
Here.
Councilor Price?
Here.
Councilor Warren?
Here.
Mayor Lanier?
Here. We'll skip reports of commissioners and changes to agenda.
Actually, we will have a change to the agenda, if I may. I'd like to add a new regular agenda item and reorder. So it would be now under item 6. 6A would be Heritage Square EPA grant cleanup contract amendment, and then followed by the Heritage Square library location next steps.
So A will be changed to B.
Correct.
Okay. The consent calendar tonight and it just has the Astoria Development Commission meeting minutes of 12/17 and 12/21, 2015. Are there any changes, modifications, corrections? Could I have a motion then?
Move to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, Chief Ames, roll call.
Councilor Nemlow.
Aye.
Councilor Ward.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Herzig.
Aye.
Mayor Lanier.
Aye. Okay, our regular agenda items then, we'll first talk about the Heritage Square EPA cleanup.
So we are bringing forward an added agenda item tonight. In that something arose last week with regards to the cleanup project occurring across the street at Heritage Square. And this is the environmental cleanup of the Heritage Square site. As you are aware, we have a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency for the cleanup of this this property, and work has been going on for the past few weeks. There was a set of change orders that were brought to our attention last week, and we're bringing this forward to you tonight in that we don't want to have any further delays on the project, and it also further delays in this case constitute additional charges when the contractor is not working. So we're needing to be able to bring this forward to you to be able to expedite your review. So there are several issues regarding how the materials, the contaminated materials needed to be loaded into trucks along the street, which had some additional costs. There was also a change in the type of containment box, which was needed to be able to haul the hazardous materials. I believe these are the hazardous materials that would be going to Arlington in eastern Oregon. Also, there were structural issues discovered on the elevated parking structure, which required shoring of the location where the excavator would be operating from. This includes a modification to the method in which the material would be removed from under that that hollow parking deck and replaced around the columns which support the elevated parking structure. There is also archaeological costs due to the discovery of automobile body parts beneath the elevated parking structure. This required review by the State Historic Preservation Office because they were discovered as an archaeological find. And that translated into some additional waiting we needed to have to go through while SHPO conducted some analysis. Because of this, there was also additional Department of Environmental Quality oversight and some additional consultant time to the changes. The additional cleanup costs that are needed to be allocated from the Astor East Urban Renewal District total up to $46,909.23. We provided a copy of a revised or of a memo to you tonight, and there's a breakdown as to how the project costs are being funded. I would note that there already are Astroeast Urban Renewal District funds which are being provided towards this project. As was stated at your December 3rd meeting, it appears that there will be additional grant funds provided from Business Oregon to be able to reimburse some of these expenses. We've had further discussion with Business Oregon, and there could be the possibility for additional reimbursement funds. We do not know whether that is possible at this point in time, but we're hoping to be able to have money coming from Business Oregon to be able to offset these expenses which are coming from the Astroeast Urban Renewal District. So should the Development Commission approve the item tonight, the cleanup is expected to continue through this week, and assuming no new issues would be arising, it would be completed by the end of next week. What we're asking for tonight from the Astoria Development Commission is that they approve an expenditure of the additional $46,909.23. There would be a, should the Development Commission approve this, there would be an additional item added to your city council meeting to amend the contract with AMEC, which is the cleanup consultant for the project. And Jeff Harrington is here to be able to answer any questions. He's been working on this issue last week and through the day-to-day to be able to get it dialed in for tonight's consideration.
Okay. Any comments or questions?
Do the auto body parts have any resale value?
Unfortunately not.
Oh.
Well, this is kind of a staggering amount of money in the scheme of an individual person. It could fund their entire household for a year. Can you explain how this is costing so much, and it just continues to add up? But I imagine that we really don't have any choice at this point, do we?
The choice you have would be to not finish the cleanup, which would not be advisable at this point because we have so much into this, and you'd have to remobilize. You know, it's unfortunate. I mean, remember, we started with this premise that we want to get this material out of here so we're not dealing with it in the future. And unfortunately, these environmental projects, you know, this is probably, you know, since the Mill Pond cleanup, this is the largest one I've been involved with, and it's very small. It seems very small, but it's expensive. Tipping fees, you know, we pay tipping fees when you take your garbage to this landfill, but when you take them to Arlington and pay for hazardous waste, it's many-fold more dollars to get rid of this material. So even though it's a small quantity, it's a staggering amount of money. I agree with you, and that's unfortunate. But I think the direction that we took was to get it out of here so we don't have to worry about it in the future. So leaving anything behind would just burden us with future restrictions and a liability left behind. So that's really the only option.
So for the, you know, the Development Commission's consideration, if the Development Commission chose not to approve this allocation, we could stop with the project as would be funded. However, we would need to start with a new project at some point in time in the future to continue this work. And as Jeff said, there would be additional remobilization costs to bring another contractor on the site at whenever that time would be in the future.
On a positive note, we did get, you know, $400,000 of this as a grant, plus the $50,000 DEQ grant that started the process years ago. And then we do have the prospect of additional money. And the goals of those money, you know, while I'm not a huge supporter of seeing, you know, our tax dollars roll out into grants for useless things, at least it's going to something positive into our community and not into somebody else's for, you know, something else that's not benefiting anybody here. So it's our share of this kind of money that floats around the country. It is federal money, and we're getting our piece of it to do something positive.
That is positive. Where does that leave us with Astroeast Urban Renewal District?
So, Kevin, do you want to speak to that?
So I am keeping a close eye on the budget, as you can imagine, particularly with this project. And just knowing what we have to work with in terms of the rest of the district. So we're trying to reserve these funds for Heritage Square. And by continuing to reduce that budget for this expense, we'll have less to use for the feasibility study phase or future phases. So it is a hit to the budget. There's no question about that. So I think, you know, as I talk to you about this cost estimate coming up, we're going to have to think about how we're going to get other funds to pay for the project. That's the reality of the Astro East URA right now.
So we do have funding to be able to afford the additional $46,000. It just does not provide as much money for other projects later on down the line.
Do you know where that would put us money-wise, dollar-wise?
Do you have a specific dollar amount?
I do not have a specific dollar amount.
You mean for just this portion or within the...
What would be the balance of the Astro East Urban Renewal District fund?
So the fund that I'm looking at is the capital fund. That's the fund that we'd be using to pay for future phases of Heritage Square. We started about $300,000 at the start of the fiscal year, and we've paid additional expenses through this brownfield remediation. So we're probably somewhere in the $150,000 range, somewhere there.
Oh.
Is that before this amendment? $150,000 before the amendment?
I believe that would be with the amendment. If you were to approve the amendment tonight, we can come back at a future ADC meeting to give you better numbers, but that's my ballpark that I have in my mind tonight.
Mm-hmm. The original bid was $238,000. Then we added $109,000 to that, and now $46,000 more. So we're a few dollars short of $400,000, $390,000-something, and then we spent the $400,000 grant, so we're in this project $800,000 so far. Is that correct?
The first $238,000 that you had mentioned was grant money. So we're only outside the $400,000 grant is the $109,000 and $46,000.
Oh, okay. So the $238,000 was part of the $400,000.
Yeah. Right.
So we're merely into it a couple of hundred grand. That's a bargain.
160.
160, around 160,000.
Mayor Lemire, I am having an increasingly difficult time, and we'll have to mull this over while the rest of you talk about continuing to approve expenditures without knowing the balance of the fund. I think it's should be a simple thing to have that number, or at least a very close approximation of it.
So what I'll do is I'm going to ask our finance director, Susan Brooks, to go work on that now, and we can get that number for you within a few minutes.
Thank you. And my second question is that if in the latter part of this development commission discussion, the council were to say that what it would like to do at Heritage Square is to fill in the hole, no housing, no library, would there be any need to continue with this level of cleanup? Just an if.
So what is being, what the methodology was when moving forward with this was to clean it up to a standard which would allow for residential development in the future. And so that is the methodology and the approach that we've been taking all along.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I will add that filling the hole will block access to where the material is. So if you left the material behind and you filled the hole, then you'd be doing it through that little hole in the sidewalk on the other side of 12th Street.
And then we will have wasted $500,000.
Right.
Jeff, do you have any idea, since we're going to, in order to fill the hole, we're going to have to build some retaining walls, what additional cost are we going to have to get the hole filled and have a flat site? Do you have any idea?
Yeah. So you had heard from the consultant before that it was what, $400,000 to $500,000. I did a refined estimate based on a strategy that I had developed a long time ago about using the existing walls to form new walls against. I had a structural engineer look at that, estimated filling the hole with rock. There might be cheaper options, and it's coming in just about $300,000. is what that would cost. It could be done cheaper if we use different material, but then we need to accept what, you know, like say we use sand, but sand has some limitations maybe on what you put on top of it. And that's with no finished surface. So if you finished it with a plaza or something like that, I think the consultant's numbers probably weren't that far off for a finished product.
Thank you.
So what I'm going to ask is, I believe that Susan is still working on this. So what I'm going to ask to be able to answer the question of Councillor Nimble and Council Price is if we could come back to this item perhaps at the end and allow her to be able to provide a specific report on where things stand on the Astor East Urban Renewal District.
Thank you. Can we then go forward to the second one?
Yeah, so if you
one?
Want to move on to the next one.
Okay, our next regular agenda item then is Heritage Square. We're talking about Heritage Square. We're talking about the library location, next steps, and that'll be Community Development Director Kevin Cronin.
That's right. Thank you, Mayor, and members of the Commission. So I've got three objectives I want to accomplish with you over the next few minutes here. One is a magic trick. Hopefully it will go without a hitch. Second is to review the cost estimate that we reviewed back at your December 7th meeting. And number three is to review the options that are in your memo, which are the options that we discussed at your work session of a couple weeks ago at the flag room. So first, the magic trick. So, Susan, can you minimize the PowerPoint for me first, please? Uh-oh. I'm asking for a password. What is the...
Let's try this. Wisdom with the capital W.
Everybody get that?
Secret. Okay.
Kevin, says we're not transparent.
Houdini, you're not.
I am not. Nothing up my sleeves.
And you're not wearing your ugly sweater either, so.
Okay, so I am connected into the interface of this monitor, which is going to allow me to do changes from this laptop. And so I'm bringing up the spreadsheet, which we had looked at back on December 7th. So let me talk into the microphone because I know Frank wants to hear what I'm saying, as well as all the members of the commission. So there are a couple options we can take in order to save a few bucks moving forward. What we presented to you back in December was the full bore cost, and it was a very big number, admittedly. And so there are ways that we can try and reduce that overall cost. And so I'd like to sort of have that conversation with you tonight. I'm going to scroll up. And so you can see there are a couple line items that I've highlighted where I've heard feedback from counselors over the last few weeks of certain things that sort of led to that sticker shock. The first one is the streetscape cost. I have taken the liberty to take that out. And if you remember, the amounts of that, or the ranges of the amounts of that, were $2.3 million to $3.4 million. The other one that we had sticker shock was the underground parking. There's a certain premium for underground parking when it comes to the engineering that it takes to have underground parking. And the price around that was $5.2 to $6.2 million. So just by taking those two items out, we've gone down to $20 million on the low end and about $26 million on the high end. That reduces it quite considerably, just using those two items. And remember, it was just under $30 million up to about almost $39 million. When we looked at the full bore costs. You might remember last December that the cost estimates were using very high contingency numbers. And there's a reason why we use those is because we wanted to offer very conservative numbers to the commission, because we just don't have a lot of good information yet. So we want to err on the side of caution. Even so, 40% is an extremely high number for a contingency. So when it comes to looking at ways to reduce further savings, we could certainly lower that contingency amount down to, say, 30% or 20% or somewhere in the range where there is more comfort level. And that is another way that we could reduce the total cost estimate. So I will stop there. If you have any questions about what we're showing here, or if you have other ideas for how we can save cost, I'm all ears.
Kevin, on those contingency numbers, 40% and, you know, talking clear down to 20, I know that we don't know a lot about what's going to happen underground
That's right.
over there, and that's why the contingency is so high, but it's normally about 10% on a construction contract. Why would 20 be the rock bottom on that?
That's a good question. So 10 is typically a contingency when you're under contract, you're actually going to construction. So typically, as you get further cost estimates, as you're going through the design process, starting with the concept design to design development, and then with your construction design, you're further narrowing those numbers. So 10% is what you typically see under a contract amount. We're starting at 40, and we'd like to get down further. So 20 would be something that we could look at, but I wouldn't want to go further than that until we get you more information.
Hard numbers from the contractor. Okay,
yep.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Can you walk us through some of these terms and making assumptions on what they mean? Vertical mm-hmm. development. Are you talking about the building there?
That's correct. Okay. Those are the buildings. That's right.
Is that CDBG Community Development Block Grant?
The same funding that we use for the senior center.
And so why is there an assumption there that that would be zero?
We've had great success at getting that type of funding. But I don't want to be too presumptuous unless I get input from the commission in terms of putting a budgeted number in there. So if we want, we can put a number in there. But
also, they're not eligible for community development block grants for libraries in this in our downtown core. We checked on that.
Yeah, we did. So we can't use it for libraries, but we could use it for the housing portion.
And so you're assuming that a private developer, so the person or the entity that would be building the housing would be providing $5.8 million approximately.
That's right. And so they're providing that through their own skin in the game or their own equity, as well as whether debt financing or a bank loan that they could get.
Okay. And the total cost of housing on the high end is couple million more than that. So based on your experience with a public-private partnership like this, could there be other sources of funds that the private developer could obtain rather than it coming from the city?
Yes, but there's a limit to that. You know, it comes down to when it comes to real estate development, it's all about other people's money. So they're going to try and bring other sources to the table other than their own dollars. That's the first rule of real estate development. And of course, they're going to try and find other private funds, whether it's other investors on the equity side or other investors on the debt side. They're certainly going to try and do that. So yeah, the answer is yes. How much is what we would have to figure out.
And why is the open space infill number so high, even on the low end?
Yes, so we can certainly look at ways to reduce that. We gave you sort of a higher level of open space when we last talked back in December, because right now we just don't know what is going to go out there in terms of the types of treatments or the types of things that will be above ground.
Isn't $3.8 million more than the city of Cornelius is spending on its library housing development?
That's correct.
And that's just for the yes. streetscape here.
So that would be another area we could take a look at, certainly.
Kevin,
the
open space and fill, that could include parking, because now that you've eliminated underground parking, if you were to have a library, and particularly if you were to have housing there, you're going to need to add parking somewhere.
So I think that's, you know, as we go through this process, we're going to have to look at trade-offs. And so the commission's going to have to figure out, okay, how much off-street parking do we need for a project like this? And there are so many things that go into that calculation. How much do we actually develop the site? What are the things that a developer is going to need for the project to really get bank financing? Banks look at parking as one of the things that they will finance a project. Those are just considerations we're going to have to figure out as we move through the design process. So off-street parking is certainly a consideration as we move forward, especially if we're not going to do underground parking.
So sure. The bottom line, Kevin, is that the library would be $9 to $12 million.
Yes.
In Heritage Square.
Yeah, that number is not changing drastically unless we want to change the contingency number, that 40% down to 30 or 20 or whatever direction you provide staff. We won't get better numbers on that until we talk about the next objective for tonight.
Well, while we're still talking about money, though, what are the ways that the city could fill this $8 to $13 million gap?
That's a good question, and that's really the trick, if you will, is to do just that: is to find other sources of money. I've identified a number of different public sources. There's a capital campaign that's going to be needed for the library, as well as for the open space portion. And I would hope that this would be a community-driven process where a lot of this would be crowdsourced, particularly the open space. And so those are just, you know, some basic ideas for how we would do that.
Can we go a little bit further than crowdsourcing for $8 to $13 million?
Yes. So you're certainly not going to be able to do all of that.
I mean, we're talking about possible bond.
Yep.
Possible, what other sorts of tools are there?
Well, it really comes down. So I don't want to sort of corner us into any one particular source. Ideally, we are going to source our dollars from grants first, and if we can't do grants, then we need to consider loans. And loans, I put bonds because you're essentially loaning yourself money and then paying that back through the debt service with your general fund or other sources of money. So. A bond, yeah, sure, that is one of the loan options, but I first want to figure out how to do it through grant funds.
How long do you think it would take to put a package together that would result in groundbreaking and construction?
So,
you've got to have the money in place before you
We
can
don't
do
have
that.
To have all the money. We have to have a good portion of
right.
the money. We need to have confidence before we go out to find the right developer that works for Astoria and works for us. And they're going to be bringing their capital sources to the project, and we're going to have to bring ours. We're going to have to come to a point where we think we have enough. And I don't know, I don't have a magic number in my mind what that is, but we need to be a little bit sharper with our pencils in terms of where some of the public dollars are coming as part of the public side of the public-private partnership.
Okay, thank you.
Is it possible to do this project, in your opinion, without asking the taxpayers of Astoria for more money?
It really comes down to timing. If you... say we decided, okay, we're going to go out for a bond, and we're going to ask for X amount of dollars, and the voters approve that, that accelerates the timeline. If a bond is not something that the council wants to do, then we're looking for other sources of capital, both on the grant side as well as the loan side. So it really comes down to timing and what the risk tolerance there is of the council for different sources of capital to make a project pencil.
So you're saying yes, but it will
yes.
take longer.
It would take longer, yeah. It really depends on the, you know, the patience of the council.
Well, again, I like that you've cut the numbers in half, essentially, but I wonder if you could do another magic trick and cut it in half again, because the numbers still seem very high.
Yes, and so there's only so much we're going to be able to cut on the uses side or how much it's going to cost. I think, you know, as we go through this process, we need to figure out, okay, where is it going to come on the funding side? And I think, you know, we have a budget process coming up, obviously, and we'll have that conversation as part of the budget process. But if there are other funds out there that are not listed, I want to hear about that. If there are other ideas to generate capital, I want to hear about that. But this is kind of our first run right now in terms of where we're going to get it on the funding side or the sources side.
Okay, well, I feel this is constructive. Thank you.
About the open space and fill, we've had this discussion repeatedly that the library and downtown parking are two separate issues and we need to keep separating them. I'd like to see that taken out or reduced considerably. I think sooner or later we're going to have to look at downtown parking, at which time we might actually be able to use some Promote Astoria funds as well. I really think, not to be irresponsible, but this has become a serious impediment to the library project, also trying to solve the parking problem of Astoria, and I'd really like to see those issues separated. Mm-hmm. I know it's risky to take out $3,800,000, but I really, and I've suggested where the downtown restrooms are, that could be a parking structure, that pit parking, mm-hmm. that could be a three-story without going above the neighboring buildings kind of thing, and that would be a separate project. So is there some way of kind of parting the Red Sea and putting parking over in a different area?
Certainly, we could break that out in an updated spreadsheet for a future meeting. Absolutely. We can look at, you know, reducing that open space cost. The fill is the fill, but the open space, certainly we can reduce that in certain ways. And we can provide a separate line item that's not underground parking but is additional off-street parking. One of the options that we looked at back in the summer had off-street parking next to the Legion. That is a much cheaper version than underground parking, obviously.
And I know everybody's focused on this, but maybe someday in your spare time, we could start a separate Astoria parking analysis kind of thing, because Michelle Reeves kept saying, we need to look at this. We need to look at all these little lots scattered around and start to look at how to consolidate them. There's also to the south side of the Boynton building, I've talked to the former county manager who said a joint city-county parking lot project there would be very pleasing to them as well. So I'm hoping that we'll get some momentum behind the parking issue.
A parking garage at the Boynton or the former dairy building, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a game changer for the downtown. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Kevin, I want to make sure that we're focused on what was outlined in the memo in terms of what we're doing here tonight.
Absolutely. You
know, moving beyond your magic trick, in other words.
You know, the first thing that, you know, the council wished to do following their last work session on this item was to be able to review the spreadsheet which prepared for Heritage Square to remove items that they felt were not to be considered in preparing a cost estimate for the various alternatives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kevin took the liberty of removing the streetscape and underground parking. That's something that, you know, that we heard as staff at the last council meeting too, they wanted to have removed. And, you know, our question is there anything else that you want removed? Because what we're going to have is we'll have the consultant go and look at this again, mm-hmm. Depending on the approach that the council took, wants to take, to verify that these very preliminary cost estimates are, in fact, the best can be provided at this time. You know, the other items that the council wanted to be able to compare to this were dealing with the existing library building. One option being to remodel the existing library utilizing the basement remodel the existing library, expanding into the parking area, and remodel the existing library, expanding into the Merwin site, assuming the Merwin building were not there. Those four scenarios would be reviewed. There was some direction provided at the last work session that there was interest in going out by issuing a new request for proposal for a new architectural consultant to prepare these. Staff has heard from some council members following that work session that maybe they'd like to discuss that again and perhaps utilize the existing consultant team, including Hacker Architects, to do the work. And so that's something I want to make sure that we get to today as well.
Can I back you up just a little bit, though, on that it's concerning parking now? The number I seem to remember, and I may be way off, the number of apartment units that we had planned initially, was that 70?
In terms of Heritage Square,
right.
We're looking at somewhere between 50 and 55, depending on how big the units are.
50 to 55. So if you built 50 apartments now, don't we have to provide 1.5 parking spots somewhere per apartment?
So right now, parking is not required in the downtown.
I see. Okay.
So it's really demand-driven, and it's really driven by the banks and getting bank financing.
Well, there was a consultant study that we did a decade ago, maybe, by MIG or Crandall or Ambula, mm-hmm. that drew up 107 spaces surrounding the site just by turning one lane into diagonal parking mm-hmm. on 12th and Duane Street. So, I mean, I think there's potential there. I've mm-hmm. seen it yeah. in the big book on Heritage Square.
Yeah, the presentation that we provided you back in December showed just that angled parking. It's a great concept, and it's, according to the historians here in Astoria, that we had angled parking in the downtown at one point. So what comes around goes around, I guess.
So what do you recommend we do right now to get the apples-to-apples comparison?
So what I would request is that if it's okay with the commission, that we use this as a working document, because that's what it is, and this becomes the new working number, the 20 to 26 that we're showing right now. It can go up, it can go down, depending on your direction and future meetings like these. But I would like to use this as kind of our new working number. And to address Brett's comments, I'd like to get authorization to move forward with those options. The question is whether we want to do a contract amendment with Hacker or go through an additional RFP. To help answer that last question, I asked Hacker for a scope and fee, and I just received it about a half hour ago. It's going to be somewhere in the $20,000 to $25,000 range to answer those questions that are indicated in your memo.
So this would be a comparison of the four sites.
Yep.
And there would be
focusing on the existing library location. Yes.
But not in comparison to this.
Yeah, we'll be able to use an apples to apples once we have
right.
that. Yes. Because okay. we've done our homework, so to speak, with Heritage Square.
Right.
And the direction that we're receiving is we need to do a little bit more homework with the existing library site.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would certainly like to go ahead with the folks we have already. I mean, they're very acquainted with this site, mm-hmm. and they'll have a much better idea, I think, mm-hmm. of the other sites that we have available. Hacker, I understand, has done libraries.
Tons of libraries, yes, particularly in Oregon.
So I think that's a real advantage, mm-hmm. And just continue with that group.
Sure, especially Hacker, because Walker Macy, as I understand it, they're more urban planning. What mm-hmm. What I'm interested in, at least, is more architectural at this mm-hmm. point. So would this include a feasibility study along the lines
yes.
of the memo that I sent you a couple of weeks ago, where we're going to get some basic mm-hmm. designs?
That's right.
And will there be money included so that we get a a real cost estimator, which I think was taken out of the last
In order to get to that question, they're actually proposing to do some floor planning so we can actually start having that conversation about what goes where, and then that helps them drive to the numbers a little bit more. So, yes.
The only thing that I would add is I think that it would be worth our while to include not only the library retained in current location with the acquisition and demolition of the Waldorf and using that site perhaps, but of using a renovated Merwin. I mean, there are that's a possibility too. Various people have talked about that. That could include housing on top as well. I mean, I don't. Anyway, that I would throw that into the mix. I would like to see that.
Councillor Price, renovated in terms of utilizing a portion of it for the library?
Right.
So the city acquiring it and renovating.
And renovating.
So you don't necessarily have to acquire the Waldorf to make that happen. You can lease that first floor, and the developer or whoever eventually owns it, it has housing above it. If you want total control over it, obviously you acquire the property, and then you're subleasing the upper floors. So there's different ways of skinning the cat, so to speak.
Does that sound reasonable to you, given what you know of the condition of the building?
Yeah, exactly. So that would, I mentioned risk tolerance. It really comes down to the risk tolerance of the council from a financial standpoint, as well as the structural integrity of the building. We don't know a lot about that building, and so it gives me pause to look at that building, but I just don't have a lot of information. So if the direction is to look at that option, we're going to have to go in there and really do some scrubbing and figure out, is this really a viable option?
I do think that's a worthwhile endeavor, given the interest that the council itself has and certain residents have of historic preservation. I have said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't see what's so great about it, but I don't think it would add that much more, maybe I'm wrong, to the exploration. And if really what we're hoping to get is the full range of cost estimates for our most logical options, throwing that in seems, again, reasonable.
If we're going to do apples to apples, maybe somebody else has suggested this, how about housing above a renovated library where it is now? Why not add that to the picture? I don't think we've thought about that, but if we are going to renovate the library, we should, apples to apples, we're looking at housing in Heritage Square, let's look at housing over the library.
I have never considered that. I don't know how to respond to that one.
Well, I'd like to consider that. I mean, if we're going to do this, let's get all the apples on the table, so to speak. Let's bring the same plan for a library with housing that we were looking at Heritage Square to a library with housing in the current building.
So, Brett, structurally, do you know if the building can have housing right now?
I don't know. I mean, that's something, because it's an independent structure, and that really has never been proposed as a as a possibility to do that, and I don't even know that it's doable or feasible.
Well, let's find out.
Well, Councillor Herzig, could I just I'm not sure if you considered this aspect to that, which is one of the aspects of renovating the library is doing things to the roof, like sunlights, sun tubes, various sorts of things to bring light into the library. If you put housing on top, it eliminates that, and I think at that point we would eliminate perhaps renovation of the library, because I think that we all do recognize the importance of bringing light in, especially if we're going to use the basement. It would eliminate basically use of the basement as an option. So I'm not sure if you considered that.
Well, actually, because we were considering putting housing on top of a new library and somehow it wasn't going to cast it into utter darkness, I don't see why we can't use the same techniques that would put housing above a library in Heritage Square to put housing above a library.
Well,
where
the difference
we are.
Would be that the architecture of a new building could be, I mean, it could be all glass with a couple of steel columns. So,
but it would still have housing on top, which is your concern.
Indeed. And
I'd like
I'd
like to see some research on the possibility, at least structurally, of housing above the current library.
So these are all items that we're going to ask council to take action upon tonight as to how to move forward with this item, or else if you want to continue for further discussion. But the purpose of this meeting was to be able to whittle down a set of options so that Kevin could prepare a draft scope with either the existing contractor or with a new contractor. So we itemized the four options identified at the last council meeting. If there are changes or if there are additions, we'd like to be able to have those.
I feel pretty solid with the options that we discussed at our work session.
I do too. I would like to stick with these four. Anyone else?
Is that without renovation of the possible renovation of the Waldorf Merwin?
It was originally.
What would that, well, that is not included in what we discussed at our work session. Adding that as an option, how would that affect the process?
It's going to add a little bit more fee because you're adding scope. So it's going to be higher on the 25 side as opposed to the 20 side, that range that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I could potentially get on board with that. And I think I understand where you're coming from with the concept of adding housing on top of the existing library, although my gut is completely overloaded with adding that option. That just seems like way too much. And, Councillor Price and I had discussed affordability as being key with a new library. I think we need to look at options that we can afford. When we're looking at underground parking and fancy urban streetscaping and came up with a $40 million price tag, I don't think we should have been looking at any of those features. I think we need to look at features that we can afford so that we don't have to come back and take the numbers that you bring us and find ways to cut them in half again. This is much better conceptually, price-wise. I still think it's too high, and I agree with Councillor Herzig that the open space and fill mm-hmm. number should be and could be brought down.
Okay.
If we go with the hackers and all that kind of thing, a couple things. I would like them for that money to give us some three-dimensional models, not just screens kind of thing. I think what we're finding is that if we don't have clear visualizations, we can't make good decisions. I think we've run into that recently with other issues. Some of their projections were not to scale. They were skewed. They kept saying, this is just a simulation. For that amount of money, we should get some really accurate renderings. And I think for some people, a 3D model that possibly something that could be moved, they could show us it could go here, that could go there. Just something a little bit more, because the presentation they gave, I was very disappointed in that. It was not something you could walk around and look at and manipulate, and they even admitted, well, no, that's just a guess, that's not the real, kind of shape kind of thing. So if we're going to give them more money, I would like a little bit more product out of this. Also, in your agenda statement, you mentioned about coming to a work session rather than a citizens advisory committee, mm-hmm. and I strongly support that. I do not want this derailed again by a citizens committee mm-hmm. that gets out of control and decides it has veto power over a recommendation. So I would say no citizens advisory committee until the council can come to consensus, and then we can involve the citizens in feedback.
I want to keep this new study as reasonable as possible because we've spent so much darn money studying this. We need a little bit more information, but I wonder if we need to go so far until we have a site selected. Do we need to dig in, or do we just need some basic information and numbers about you know, whether or not it would work to expand into the parking lot, and how much would that cost? Would it cost significantly less than a new library at Heritage Square, or would it cost about the same? That's what I would like to know right now. And I see Councilor Warr smiling down there, but he's not saying anything.
And my understanding, and I had a conversation with Mr. Cronin about this, was that this feasibility study would provide us with some basic designs, not Lego-type rectangles as we saw with Hacker Macy showing the footprint, which that's what we were looking at, but something that would give us more of an idea of, you know, where an elevator might be, where the stairs might be, what a basic floor plan might look like, so that we can begin to visualize. Yes?
If you need Lego makers, I have a couple at home that would be more than willing to help you out. But I think to your larger point, yes, we will have basic designs that are going to allow them to get sharper pencils on the numbers. Again, it's a long-term process. Like I said, we're at that 1% stage, and we're trying to get to 2%. So we've got a long road ahead of us, but we really want to provide you more information so you can make informed decisions.
Well, I agree with Councilor Nimlewell. I think we have four recommendations here that we had talked about before, and that if we stick with those and get basic designs and cost estimates, at least that's what I want to know, is how does the cost of renovating the library in its current place compare with the price tag across in Heritage Square? I think that's what we have to look at.
I agree. Well, I hope we get better information this time. We're spending from $4,000 to $10,000 more on this proposal than we spent on the one that we are having to slice and dice for ourselves because it came back unusable in a sense. I mean, well, not unusable, but we're having to massage it quite a bit. I'd like to get a report that we don't have to sit down and use the scalpels on, that we can talk about more directly instead of this kind of analysis. And I appreciate the magic and the work you've done on this because it's making it a lot easier for us to make this decision. So thank you.
So question for council. Are you comfortable moving forward with using Hacker as the consultant? And this would be a contract amendment with the existing contract.
Yes, at this point, yes.
Okay, so let me tell you, what you're going to be able to see is, to be able to approve this contract amendment, you're going to have to review the scope of work, mm-hmm. which is negotiated between the city, and Kevin's going to be working on that, and Hacker, so it'll be and that will be coming back to you for your consideration at another meeting. So this was intended to be able to help narrow down some of the items so that the final scope of work could be prepared. This process, because we'd be going with a change order, will be going faster than having to initiate a new request for proposal process. And if there are things in the draft scope of work that you have questions about, or you don't feel that it fully gets to what you need, you'll have the opportunity to be able to raise those concerns in advance of approving the contract amendment. So.
And may I just one more time, I'm sorry, ask about, have we agreed to add the library with the renovation of the Waldorf? And again, I just say that if it turns out that the library with the demolition of the Waldorf and use of that space is really the piece that comes back that makes us all go, wow, it's going to be harder to accept or to sell if we don't have the other piece of that, which is, well, it would cost X amount of money, which I think we all know would be quite expensive, or we think at any rate, to renovate the Merwin. It is a question that we will want to answer to our historic preservation community.
Let me just state once again why I don't think that's a good idea. first of all, the Merwin has been sitting there for, what, three decades now or something. And everyone that comes in and tries to do something with it cannot pencil it out. It is just an extremely expensive building. We've heard estimates of around $5 million to renovate it. And if you do that, then it's sitting between two big high buildings. So you don't have windows. You don't have light. I know that they say, oh, architects can do anything, but I don't know that you can bring light into a building that's surrounded on three sides with higher buildings. And the only way that that can be could be possibly utilized is if we could use the entire bottom floor for the library. If that could be guaranteed, then I would think that might be worth looking at. But right now, everyone we've talked about who talks about putting apartments above or whatever, they have to have an area downstairs, a lobby area with a big staircase or whatever going upstairs, which takes about half the space that we would gain by taking down the Merwin. So that's why it seems to me it's a lot of money for very little gain of floor space, and it's why I don't think it's worth looking into.
During our previous library study, didn't we have some rough estimates on the costs of incorporating the Merwin?
Yeah.
And wasn't it around $5 million?
Not extra. I just think that we are at the stage where we're asking the professionals to tell us, rather than our sitting here and saying what we've heard, what we think, what we figure, which I think you're, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I think it is going to be very expensive, but we have this opportunity now to put it in, to put it to rest, to do the apples to apples, and just say this is, you know, if it comes out that way, just say this is not feasible, either architecturally, utilizationally, if that's a word, and financially.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I mean, I agree with what you, Mayor, said. But, you know, in terms of having our eyes wide open and being responsive to citizen concerns, if it's feasible to add this to the scope of work while keeping it reasonable, I would support that.
Well, I think prior to your term on the council, we had this discussion, and two or two and a half years ago, whatever it was, we were in pretty good consensus that it was just too expensive a project. Isn't that your recollection?
Right. Yeah.
And it seemed to me like we had numbers, or rough numbers, didn't we?
The numbers that we had, which were prepared by the Met study, were more for expanding into the Waldorf space with a with a new building, assuming it was demolished. So that's the cost estimates. There was concern that it would be too expensive to undertake based upon some studies that were done probably about 10 years ago. There was some interest at the time about the city expanding City Hall over towards the Merwin and some things like that. And so that was the reason why it was moving forward with the concept of library expansion without remodeling of the building as part of the Met study.
Okay.
Do you want to have just a consensus vote or a vote or some such thing to say whether we want to include that or not? If you would like to include the renovation of the Merwin, how many of you want to do that?
I feel really on the fence about this now. You brought up a good point, Councillor Price and Councillor Wart. It sounds like, you know, you're saying that the work has, again, already been done, but it was 10 years ago, and this is, you're saying that it's cost prohibitive, just like looking at underground parking, which we knew what was cost prohibitive, and it brought our price tag really high. And Mr. City Manager, do you feel comfortable at all sharing your opinion on this particular matter at this time?
So I think that if we are really looking at all the various options on the table, having additional information about what it would take to include the existing building, it would, I don't think in the scheme of things, it's going to be that much more money for the consultants. And I think that it would then be able to have all the different scenarios to be able to be reviewed by council, and the council could have all of the information.
That's fine with me.
Fine with me.
Well, again, it's not all these scenarios because you refuse to look at housing above a renovated library. But
it's not me, Mr. Councilor.
I understand, but it's not all the scenarios kind of thing. And I'm sad the council won't go that. I do feel, though, that we will never get public support for this in a solid way unless we do look at using the Merwin, because there's a very strong presence in the community that says do not take down the Merwin kind of thing. So I think it's worth adding for a gesture of good faith to the public kind of thing. But I'm sorry that we are not going to look at all the options and not look at housing above the library. But I will go along with the rest of the council on this.
Thank you, Councilor Herzog.
Could we add, I mean, I'm just asking, could one of the reasons for going into the Merwin is to get an additional 5,000 square feet. So the only way to do that is to be able to use that entire floor. Could we put in something saying renovate the Merwin but keep that entire first floor for the library?
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to back channel with the architect on this, bring forth back to you hopefully by your next meeting, after I have a chance to really review it and comb through it. A revised scope and fee, and then you'll have an opportunity to look at that that scope and fee based on those options that you're talking tonight, and you can either add or subtract from that scope at your next meeting.
So, I mean, I would note that tonight, if we're purely adding the Merwin building as one of the options, you know, we could be. I mean, if the council says, "Wow, that additional work is going to cost too much." To be able to do, it's something that we could back off very easily. So it's something that, it's not the final decision tonight. There'll be another bite at the apple.
Well, and I don't need $20,000 to say that a scenario could be expand halfway into the parking lot and halfway into the Merwin to give them the lobby space they need to preserve some of the parking. It doesn't have to be an either or. It could be a little bit of each. If we decide we want to go into part of the Merwin, as Mayor Lemire says, if it's going to be a functioning hotel, they're going to need a lobby. We could share that space, and we could use half of the parking lot. So I'll take my $10,000 right now. Thank you.
Let's leave it to the professionals.
Okay. Do you have
I have direction, I believe.
Okay. Good. Because I'm not sure I do.
So let me just if just to clarify, since just to make sure that everyone's on the same page, Community Development Director Cronin will be working with Hacker and Associates through Walker Macy. Our contract is with Walker Macy, but the work could be conducted by Hacker to amend the existing contract to review five different scenarios. The five scenarios would be Heritage Square as pared down tonight, and then the remodel the existing library, including the Merwin with a redevelopment of the Merwin building, expand the library remodel the library and expand it into the space occupied by the Merwin, assuming the Merwin were no longer there, remodel the library and expand into the basement, remodel the library and expand into the parking area. There will be some more detailed architectural concepts that would be prepared than what we had before, some initial site planning work that would be completed, and we'll look at ways to be able to have an enhanced type of set of visuals to address your concerns, Councilor Herzog, whatever we can do to try and do that, make it easier to understand.
Mr. City Manager, you're good. That's why we pay you the big bucks. But one more thing.
Sure.
What about paring down the Heritage Square site a little bit more?
So what we'll do is we'll be able to do that. You know, sharpening our pencil and sharpening our design eye maybe a little bit more with that.
Yes, I can bring that back to you at any point as a kind of a parallel track to the work that we're doing with a professional architect.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Thank you very much.
So if we could, we would need to go back to the EPA item. If we could maybe take a five-minute recess and then reconvene, I'd like to be able to verify with staff on some items on this, and then we can move right into City Council following that.
Okay.
Okay. That's your call. Do you want to, or if you want to do that, you can.
Well, I just feel like that.